Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, March the 26th, and it's time for another edition of the State Capitol Report, where we review the top news stories affecting the state of Wisconsin from the previous week and preview issues that will be debated under the State Capitol Dome this week. We've got a lot of news to cover this week, so let's get started right away with Chuck Quirnbach, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Milwaukee. Chuck covered a couple of Supreme Court candidate forums in the past week and a public hearing on the state budget, which was held last week in Milwaukee. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Joy.
Let's start with this joint appearance on Saturday in Milwaukee between the two candidates running for a state Supreme Court, Madison attorney Linda Clifford and Washington County Judge Annette Ziegler. Did the two make any news there?
Well, they continued their battle over the ethical issues. They appeared before the Community Brainstorming Conference, which is a monthly forum held in the African-American community. And the issues that have dominated over the last week or so about Judge Ziegler, whether she has ruled on cases where she would have apparent conflicts of interest, that sort of came into the debate here as a joint appearance, I should say. They both mentioned, Clifford mentioned in opening remarks, and then they were also both questioned about it later. The citizens at the forum got to question the candidates. Clifford sort of started out first, suggesting that Ziegler's defense of the issue that she didn't really make any profit off of any of these cases or should not have stepped away from them was sort of a weak defense.
She says this is a small claims matter. Most of the cases were small claims, but you know as I know that $500 to the people who appear in the small claims court is a big deal.
Yeah.
Now, Judge Ziegler came back with what she's been saying all along, that she has put her assets in a blind trust, that she doesn't think there was any scandal there, and that, suggested that maybe if life was to get a second chance, she might do things a little bit differently.
It's not a pleasant experience, believe me. Are there ways judges can improve? Absolutely. Are there systemic changes and things that could be done differently? Sure. We're always looking for better ways of doing things, and I would continue to make that commitment as well.
And, Chuck, did you get any sense as to whether, the group, this was an issue that was resonating with the group that was there in Milwaukee?
Well, this is a very activist group, or actively engaged group of people, and it was brought up several times. Now, one of the times was by State Senator Lena Taylor, who has endorsed Clifford. But there was somewhat of an attempt to move beyond the ethical issue. Both candidates, Clifford and Ziegler, stressed the amount of time they have either spent in Milwaukee or that they care about the issues affecting a lot of, crime issues affecting the African-American community and the lock away and sending away the young kids to long stretches of time in the jail and so on. So there was an attempt to reach out to try and make a difference, connect with the folks. Clifford obviously has a lot of backing from progressives, Democrats, and so on. It tends to be that those candidates don't win statewide elections without significant support from Milwaukee, including the African-American community. So Clifford really needs to energize some folks over here. Ziegler at least needs to hold her own in that regard and tried to say that, she'd been here and been active in Milwaukee many times before.
Okay. And you also, Chuck, covered the first, I believe, in a series of public hearings on the state budget that was held in Milwaukee last week. What was on the minds of people at that public hearing?
Well, I didn't stay for the whole 8 hours that I heard.
No, you didn't.
There were a few deadlines I had to meet. But, there was a lot of talk about the Governor Doyle's budget plan for Milwaukee, which includes more shared revenue, includes other things for the Milwaukee schools and so on. And Doyle's plan generally got support during the 2 hours that I was there. Milwaukee's Mayor Tom Barrett did say that even with the expected increase, a proposed increase in shared revenue from Milwaukee, there would still be problems for the city paying for the additional police officers it wants to hire. The crime issue remains an important one here, especially with last summer's spate of shootings and so on, and that continue this year and will for the foreseeable future. Anyway, one of Barrett's plans is to put more police on the street, and there's some debate as to whether how all that's going to be funded. So that was certainly a key issue. We haven't talked a lot about this, but the Kenosha-Racine-Milwaukee commuter rail proposal needs some backing from the legislature to have it happen. A regional transit authority has endorsed raising car rental fees to do a lot of the money for the project, but it needs legislative support, and so that was brought up quite a few times as well.
So anything else, Chuck, before we let you go? Anything on your agenda this week that you'll be covering, or things that happened in the last week that we should be watching?
Well, just on the budget hearing, I mean, there were other attempts to get more money than into the budget than what has been proposed for after-school programs, these community learning centers, and also money to make sure that people who need daycare can pay, who are low income, can pay for it adequately. So that was an issue as well. This week, I don't know if the governor's coming back. He's been over in Milwaukee a couple times since his hip surgery is completed to try and push for things that are already in the budget. Mm-hmm. And maybe he'll be doing more of that.
All right, Chuck, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Chuck Kornbach, our reporter based in Milwaukee, will be talking with our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, about some other issues that are making headlines after we check the weather. And we will welcome your questions and thoughts on bills before the state legislature and the state Supreme Court race, whatever else is on your mind. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network. You're listening to the State Capitol Report on this Monday, March the 26th. It's about 7:18 right now. Every week during this hour, Mondays between 7 and 8, we review the top stories of the week in state government, updating you on what your lawmakers are up to each week, what bills are being proposed and debated, what shape the proposed state budget is taking. And we'll continue now with our state government reporter, Sean Johnson. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
We heard from Chuck Kornbach about the public hearing on the budget held in Milwaukee last week. There was also a hearing held in Arlington last week that you covered, and more on tap for this week?
Yeah, there's another public hearing tomorrow in Chippewa Falls, and then there's a couple more yet to come after that, but just one this week. And, as Chuck mentioned, these are long hearings. A lot of people come to testify, about 3 minutes apiece, and it's hard to nail down one single theme to these hearings because so many people are talking on so many topics, but you get it's a good chance to hear what some people have in mind about.
Did you stay for all 8 hours of the Arlington one?
I did not. No, I think I stuck around for three or four.
Well, that's good. That's pretty good. What was the thrust of those 3 or 4 hours that you covered?
You really hear a lot of people at these things talk about areas where either they want the state to spend more or they want to make sure that funding is preserved. For example, at the hearing I went to, a number of local officials who spoke first, who were from the Arlington area, talked about funding for Highway 51. That was their big topic, mm-hmm. and they made sure they kind of drummed that home. It's hard to say that was the theme for the whole budget hearing because after the first hour, you didn't hear about it much after that. But that was one big topic. Then some of the other topics that you've heard, talked about in the legislature were brought up. For example, this tax on hospitals. You had a hospital administrator talking about whether or not the state should do that. He didn't think so. You had nursing home administrators talking about the bed tax and, why they don't favor that. So you hear some of these issues brought up, but it's more of a variety than you hear in the legislature itself.
Yeah, I'm looking at an Associated Press story from last week saying that the state assembly's leader is promising there will be no tax increases in the budget passed by Republicans. So are they going to be able to do that? No tax increases whatsoever?
I think Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch has his work cut out for him. If he loses three votes in the assembly, I mean, he's got a 5-vote majority. If three of his members don't agree with what Republicans are doing, it kind of throws off their plan. So it's just an incredibly tough job for them to all be on the same page in terms of the budget that they pass. And even if they do pass the thing is, even if they do pass a budget out of the assembly that has no tax increases, they still have to deal with Democrats in the Senate. And really, Democrats hold more cards at this point because they have the governor's office and their governor has extensive veto power. So you've heard the speaker make comments similar to this a couple times. And I think the thrust of his message has been, we will show the people of Wisconsin what could have been if we controlled the Senate and the governor's office. I mean, when you hear words like that, it sends you the message that the speaker knows he's going to have to compromise at some point.
Also last week, the state Supreme Court race heated up, as we heard from Chuck, too. I heard that you covered a story about a conflict of interest complaint that was filed by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign against candidate Ziegler.
Yeah, and this involves some of the cases that you've seen discussed in public reports recently. The Wisconsin Democracy Campaign zeroed in on 16 cases, I believe. Some of them dealt with cases that where the judge ruled on cases involving the West Bend Savings Bank, where her husband's on the board of directors. Some of them involved companies in which she held at least $50,000 worth of stock. So the Democracy Campaign picked these cases. It thought that they represented kind of a pattern of behavior by Judge Ziegler, and asked the Judicial Commission to rule on whether, you know, she was out of line when she handled these. So that if that happens, it's not going to come till after the election. What did happen last week, and you heard Chuck mention this briefly, but Judge Ziegler set up a blind trust so that in theory she won't know where her money's invested from that point forward. And as the name implies, it'll be blind. Only the fund manager will know. So that's a step forward, or a step for her to take going forward. But the Democracy Campaign still says that doesn't excuse what you did in the past.
We will be airing another debate between the two Supreme Court candidates this Friday at 7 o'clock. It's the We the People Wisconsin debate. You can hear it here on the Ideas Network, or you can watch it on Wisconsin Public Television. Citizens will ask questions of candidates Linda Clifford and Annette Ziegler. That's the We the People Wisconsin debate this Friday night at 7 o'clock. Also last week, Sean, the governor started making public appearances following his hip surgery. How's he doing?
You know, he had a crutch there, but he stood up and chatted with a few reporters after a meeting of the building commission. I know Chuck talked with him also in Milwaukee a couple times, so he's out and about again.
Yeah, he's being dogged by this Dennis Troha situation still?
The thing he was asked about this week, it was another Troha investigation that didn't have anything to do with him. There's actually a couple items. One, there it came out that the federal government's now investigating Troha in relation to money he gave to congressional leaders in order to get a bill passed in Congress. There was another story that came out in the State Journal talking about a pattern of donations from the Troha family to President Bush that followed sort of the same pattern as those to Governor Doyle. So the governor was asked whether, you know, that changes his mind, if he'd be inclined to give back Troha's donations now.
There's no way for our campaign to know any of these facts. We can't look at people's bank records and so on. And so there's an accusation made that he did it incorrectly. He has very vehemently, as have members of his family, very vehemently said that what they did was perfectly correct. I guess that's what you have a court system
what
for.
What, if any, role did he play for your campaign, Governor?
Oh, he's a good...
Was he your advisor?
Well, he's a good, strong supporter. And, you know, he has been. He has been for a lot of people in the political world. And he's a good, strong supporter.
Yeah. So, in other words, unless the courts say there was wrongdoing, Governor Doyle's not returning these donations?
Right, and, you know, it hasn't. So, in other words, not changing his stance until Dennis Troha is convicted of any wrongdoing in a court of law, the governor's, you know, just going to wait and see.
Well, when I came back from vacation, I noticed a big front page spread in the Wisconsin State Journal on this bill that the legislature is going to be dealing with this week, hearing on this bill regarding cable TV competition. Some are saying this will be great for consumers. Some are saying this is going to be crummy for consumers. First of all, Sean, what exactly is this bill? What would it do?
Well, a lot of the video franchise agreements, cable franchise agreements that local governments have right now with the cable provider in Madison or Milwaukee, that would be up to the state under this new bill. And the new bill would also make way for AT&T, you could say for others, to offer this other type of this alternative to cable, but it's basically AT&T offering it. So, you know, the downside to local governments as they see it is it kind of robs them of some of the money that they've gotten used to in these agreements with cable providers and takes the decision making out of their hands. So there's a public hearing on this tomorrow, and I think it's going to be one of the bigger, potentially more complicated bills you see in the legislature. You know, certainly one of the more heavily lobbied too, just given what's at stake for these cable and internet companies.
Yeah, so that public hearing is tomorrow. The thing that struck me is the governor said he didn't like the bill in the form that it was currently in because it didn't provide some consumer protections currently in place. I believe things like that cable TV outages have to be fixed within 72 hours and that sort of thing were not in this bill. So do you sense there will be some amendments and changes to this legislation?
I sense there will be certainly, you know, plenty of attempts. At least, I mean, in the informational hearing that I heard on this a while back, another thing cities brought up is that they have control when something goes wrong. Now they kind of have a say in it, and they can kind of keep track of things. Whereas if you have a statewide franchise, they say you lose that. So I imagine you'll hear that tomorrow.
Yeah, I also see here that you covered a hearing last week on what was it, a breastfeeding bill? What's this about?
Basically, what it would spell out is that a woman has a right to breastfeed in any public or private location where they're otherwise authorized to be. So, breastfeeding in public's not criminalized under current law, but a lot of women were saying at this hearing that in practice, what you have is you go to a public place to breastfeed and a security card may tell you to, you know, get out.
Mm-hmm. And you had a resident testify here about her experiences?
Yeah, it was, I believe, Teresa Faust, I believe is the name. And she was talking about her experience in a Madison mall when she sat down to breastfeed.
I felt humiliated for making the best choice I could make for my infant. And I was so furious because the teenage girls who were there, this was an opportunity for them to see something that was actually good and healthy for their babies. And instead, it looked like I was doing something wrong.
Anyway, we'll watch the progress on that particular bill. We have less than a minute. Sean, anything else that's on tap this week that we should watch?
Well, you know, as we mentioned, there's another public hearing on the budget in Chippewa Falls, so certainly a chance to, you know, say your piece if you're up in that area. There's also a hearing on a bill that would force the state to divest any money it has that's tied to Sudan, the idea that being that, you know, we're not going to fund genocide. Public hearing on that coming up. And then there's a hearing on a bill that comes up regularly that would force 12-year-olds to wear life jackets in certain boats. So.
Well, we'll get an update on that next Monday on the State Capitol Report. All right. Thanks a lot, Sean Johnson. And we'll talk with two state lawmakers coming up after we check the latest news. This is the Ideas Network. It's 7:36 on this Monday, March the 26th. I'm Joy Cardine, and you're listening to the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We heard from Wisconsin Public Radio reporters Sean Johnson and Chuck Quirnbach in our previous segment about some of the issues making news in the past week affecting state government and the state budget, and some of what's on tap this week. In this half hour, we will hear from two state lawmakers, starting with a member of the state's Budget Writing Committee, the Joint Finance Committee, Republican State Representative Scott Souter of Abbotsford. And we will welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or email us your question at talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. We heard there were public hearings in Milwaukee and Arlington last week, giving citizens an opportunity to comment on the state budget. And as we heard from Sean, there will be another one tomorrow in Chippewa Falls. Maybe you'll be attending one of these hearings as the Joint Finance Committee makes its way around the state. Maybe you won't have that opportunity. Well, here's your opportunity now to call in your comment on the state budget or the budget issue that matters most to you. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Let me welcome in Scott Suter. He is a Republican state representative from Abbotsford and member of the Joint Finance Committee. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So what have you been taking from these public hearings so far?
Well, the public hearings are a very important part of the process. We will be continuing to take the show on the road, so to speak, going all over the state, taking public input on any part of the state budget that people want to come in and comment on. And there have been comments ranging from, you know, the new taxes and fees in the budget to policy in the budget to interesting items that people want to highlight, either they're concerned about personally or they want others to be concerned about. So it's a very important part of the process, and it's very enlightening for the committee members as well.
Yeah. Do you share the opinion of the Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch, who said last week that there will be no tax increases in the budget passed by Republicans?
I do. I do. I think you're going to see a stark contrast between the Democrats' budget and what you'll see coming out of the Assembly Republicans. We will have a no tax increase budget that will show taxpayers what can be done when you put your fiscal house in order. So it'll be a very stark comparison even to this budget that we have before us, which has over $4.5 billion in new spending and is going to cost the average family of four, in terms of new tax increases, about $2,144. And that's at a time when our family's ability to pay is actually going down. So it's going to be a stark contrast. We're going to see staunch fiscal discipline coming from Assembly Republicans, and I truly believe that's what people want, especially when you have a budget shortfall that we currently do.
Yeah. A lot of these tax increases, though, as far as I can see here, are big hikes in the cigarette tax and a tax on big oil and things like that. How are you going to have staunch fiscal discipline? What are you going to cut to make up for not raising those taxes?
Well, I think we're going to take not only future growth, but we're not going to have the $4.5 billion in new government spending that you see in this current budget, and probably even more coming from the state Senate. So I think what you do is you fund the programs that you have, the programs that work, and you take care of your most vulnerable, and you do what government should do, but you don't go beyond that and start entirely new programs when you don't have the money. It's just like a family in Wisconsin. You don't go out and buy a new car or buy a new boat or do lavish spending or put more money on the credit card when you didn't get a pay increase. And that's actually what is happening. The average median family income in this state has dropped by more than $1,000. That's the first time it's gone below that median for the first time since 1985. And our philosophy is this. If you haven't received a pay increase, if you don't have money coming in, you simply pay for what you can and you put your fiscal house in order. You don't put it on the credit card. You don't go out and buy a new car and start new spending programs. You fund what you can, take care of your most vulnerable, take care of your priorities, and go from there. So we'll use future growth to fund those priorities and make sure we do a very responsible, fiscally responsive budget that protects taxpayers, protects our most vulnerable, and at the same time we'll continue operations in state government. But we're not going to go beyond and have what is currently in this budget of $4.5 billion in new government spending and, you know, and $1.2 billion property tax hike. We just don't believe that that's either responsible or good public policy.
Yeah. Well, so, for instance, protecting the most vulnerable, you would not be opposed to expanding, Badger Care to cover all children in the state?
Well, I don't think we're opposed to that. It's the fact is we can't afford the current program now. We just had to place in the budget repair bill more money in child care, more money to fund Badger Care shortfalls, more money to fund shortfalls in the Department of Corrections. So what we believe we need to do, and this is what every family in Wisconsin and America does, is make sure you pay your bills. And right now, we don't have the money even to pay our bills. So we need to make sure that we fund the programs that work, and I'm a big fan of Badger Care. We need to fund those programs, make sure that they are fiscally not only responsible, but they are solvent. And that's our first priority. So making sure the programs that work are fully funded, and then we'll make sure that happens and then go from there. But again, you don't start off entirely new programs if you don't have the money and you can't afford the programs that you currently are trying to serve.
Let me bring in a caller, Mike in Milwaukee. Hello, Mike.
Hi. I'm wondering about, now, local school like in Milwaukee is tied in with the state budget also because we get a lot of state money here for schooling. But the teachers get a health care package directly from the teachers' union, which is 45% more than if they got it directly from the state. And yet we turn our backs on that. How come the teachers are able to get the same package that they would get from the state, but they pay 45% more? And, of course, as a taxpayer and living in this tax hell that we call Wisconsin, we have to pay for that. How come?
Well, we have tried, many of us have tried to respond to that concern and allow school boards the option, the choice, to shop around. And with regard to health care insurance, buy into the state health insurance program, which is really a Cadillac program. But many, unfortunately, the governor has vetoed that initiative. And you have the teachers union program, which is a Rolls-Royce health care plan. We would move to a Cadillac plan, which is the state's plan, saving millions in taxpayer dollars. Unfortunately, time after time, the governor has vetoed that. So we are trying. I believe we will try again. But if you look at this budget, things like eliminating the QEO while still maintaining revenue caps will only cost taxpayers more money and cause property taxes to skyrocket. So if you take a look at the budget and what's currently in the state budget, I believe a lot of these policy items that are major shifts in policy that will cost taxpayers literally billions need to be removed, and the taxes and fees need to be whittled down, or as Assembly Republicans will do, eliminate.
Yeah. We're going to be welcoming in after the weather break of Democratic State Representative Chuck Benedict, who is a co-author with Mark Miller of the Wisconsin Health Security Act, which would create a single-payer health care system in Wisconsin. What do you think of that idea, Representative Souter?
Well, I'm opposed to health care initiatives which either tax businesses or create a government-run health care plan. And that initiative, although I'll give the gentleman credit for working on it, I believe would put government bureaucrats in charge of health care. And we believe, many Assembly Republicans believe, that we need to make certain that we keep government bureaucrats away from health care so they're not deciding what prescription medicine you get or which doctor you go to or which specialist you see. We want to make sure that doctors are in charge of health care and that people have more options. So we're going to come. Our plan will be consumer-driven. We will put the market in charge, and we will make sure that consumers have choices and options and are able to have the power of shopping around, but we're not going to give that power to bureaucrats. We believe that's just the wrong way to go. It will cost consumers a great deal in terms of money and will certainly drive doctors out of the state and actually reduce access. So anytime you put the government in charge of something, it tends to cost more and reduce the amount of access, especially when it comes to health care. And we're not about to let that happen. So I don't think that plan is the right way to go. But our Assembly Republican plan will put consumers in charge, not bureaucrats.
Yeah. Anything else on your calendar this week that we should know about before we let you go?
We're just hoping to hear from a lot of people in the upcoming hearings in Chippewa Falls starting tomorrow at noon. So we'll hope to see you there.
All right. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Scott Souter, Republican State Representative from Abbotsford, member of the Joint Finance Committee. And we will welcome in State Representative Chuck Benedict after we check the weather. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 8 o'clock, you're listening to the State Capitol Report. Joining us now is Chuck Benedict. He is a Democratic state representative from Beloit. He is a member of the Assembly Committee on Health and Healthcare Reform. He's co-author with Senator Mark Miller of the Wisconsin Health Security Act. And we will wonder if you agree with him or not that Wisconsin needs a single-payer health care plan. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest, Chuck Benedict. Representative Benedict, good morning.
Thank you, Joy.
So tell us what the Wisconsin Health Health Security Act would do. What would this bill do?
Well, I'm proud to join Senator Mark Miller in offering this Wisconsin Health Security Act, which creates a single-payer health care plan that would cover all Wisconsin residents. As you know, when you go around the state and talk to people, when you ask them what issues are most important to them, I think the vast majority will put health care as number one or certainly number two. And if it's not, the issue that they put number one, which may be business and whatnot, business growth, the economy, that's very dependent upon having a good health care coverage and health security for people so that people don't have to worry about their health. They can worry about getting on the business of living.
Yeah. How will this be paid for?
This will be paid like health care that currently is being paid for. It's being paid for by us. You know, right now we sort of have a mixture of taxpayer dollars, insurance dollars, private dollars for people that can't get insurance and or can afford it. So this would be it would simplify and streamline the system by having a single payer, and that payer would be the government.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having the government being a payer does not mean that the government is dictating what doctor you go to and how they practice medicine. This is not socialized medicine, which I think is a misleading way that the bill is being misrepresented by people who oppose it.
Well, we just heard Representative Souter say that he doesn't want to put any government bureaucrats in charge of our health care.
Well, they would be streamlining the payment system. They would not be dictating that how the doctors practice.
Yeah. Are taxes going to have to go up in order to create a system like this?
Well, I think, again, if you look at the whole system, taxes may go up some. But having said that, that also means that employers are no longer going to have to be paying insurance premiums, which is a large amount of the cost of starting a business. In fact, it's so much of a cost that people are reluctant to start businesses, or when they do, they're starting to shift the health care costs more and more for higher copays to the employee, so that the employee is now having to pay insurance costs.
Yeah.
So these costs would now be reduced, and then they would be absorbed in. Likely, it would be a tax or something like that. It would be a single fund the way it would be set up.
Yeah, isn't this something that should be done at the federal level? Some say that this
I would be very happy to have it being done at the federal level. But you know, having said that, I think the federal government, particularly with the current administration, is certainly not going to go that direction. But there are opportunities as has been offered by both Representative Baldwin and Senator Feingold to encourage states to work as laboratories, sort of in a stepwise, incremental fashion to developing a national health plan. But I think, you know, before that, I think Wisconsin being used to be a forward-looking state, that's certainly our state motto, that we should be looking forward to catching up with all the other industrialized countries who have just as good a health care, better health outcomes, and much less expense.
Tons of callers for you. Cindy and Hudson, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. A lot of the Republicans, and this is behind the scenes where they don't want the public to know what they're thinking, but a lot of them say that businesses should pay no taxes. And in fact, a lot of businesses do not pay any taxes, and I don't think the public is aware of that. I think the single-payer health care would be a solution we should talk about. And I'm wondering if businesses should pay a little more, but then they get, you know, health care they don't have to worry about health care, and maybe they'd like that.
Mm-hmm. Our Representative Benedict?
Well, that's a little tangential to this. I think it is incorporated. You know, the fact that, you know, there's the Las Vegas loophole and corporates. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at the history of corporate contribution to the general fund and personal you know, income and other taxes that individuals pay, it's been shifted again towards the individual and away from corporations. They certainly, I don't think, I want you to know that, so they try to keep it quiet so that they can continue the trend.
Thank you, Cindy. Next, Tom and Sobiski. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm glad that you're doing something about this. I didn't agree with Hillary Clinton's health care plan. I vote Democrat, but I will not vote for her on account of what she did. I prefer something like socialized medicine, such as Canada. I work as a nurse, and I see too many people getting treated for things that they shouldn't be treated for. I see when we need to make ethical decisions and end of life, we continue keeping people alive forever.
Yeah, I get you, Tom, and we're running short on time. But Representative Benedict, would what you're proposing be like a Canada health care plan for Wisconsin?
Well, thank you, Tom, for those comments. Mm-hmm. I would like to, maybe I'm a stickler for words, but it's not socialized medicine. At most, it's socialized paying for the medicine. But the term socialized medicine does indicate that, you know, the physicians are hired by the government and are paid by the government, and they kind of work for the government. And that's not what we're proposing.
No, is it like Canada? What you're proposing?
It would be very much like the Canadian system, which I think you'll find, if you don't listen to what insurance companies say, you'll find that most Canadians like the system.
Yeah,
we get good health care,
and they don't have to wait for a year to get a some sort of medical.
I think that there may, you know, for something like if you've got, you know, a twisted knee, you know, you may wait, which is probably good medicine anyway, because a lot of times those things heal on themselves. But, you know, we're talking about MRI scans and things like that. But I think that if you're concerned with a stroke or brain tumor, you can get an MRI scan as promptly as you can in the United States, as in the United States.
Yeah, and let me get another caller in. Paul in La Crosse, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, you know, about the cost, especially what your previous guest said, you know, the cost for Social Security is much lower than any private, just a pension plan, let alone a medical plan. The VA does wonderful things getting drugs for their veterans, you know, at below market costs. Why is it always said by the opposition that, you know, if the government runs it, it's going to cost more? And you guys never seem to answer that question properly. Why can't you just stop them dead in their tracks and saying, you guys don't know what you're talking about?
Well, that's why I'm out there, and that's what I've been saying. And I think a lot of it is because they like to make sure that the insurance companies stay in the loop. I think one of my my concerns is that an awful lot of the dollars that we pay now into insurance goes into, the profits for the insurance companies, and not towards taking care of health. And I think that you're correct that the government has proven itself, as in Medicare, that it's a very efficient system, and that most of the health care dollars go to health care because the administrative costs are a fraction of what they are in the private, for-profit, insurance-dominated healthcare system that many of us are participate in. And let me say this: the healthcare that you can get in the United States is excellent. It's, you know, and I say this as a retired physician. You know, I'm very proud of the healthcare that we, as a group of doctors and other healthcare deliverers, therapists, and nurses, that we give care that we have to apologize to no one for. This is a financing problem. This is not, and we have the money. That's the thing. I mean, it's probably more of a political problem than.
Well, it might be that could be. It's not going to be easy to pass something like this in the state legislature, is it?
Let me say this. This is the second term that we've introduced this. Last time it couldn't even get a hearing. Obviously, with the Democrats controlling the Senate now, I think it will at least get a hearing. as I go around and talk to people, people are much more receptive now. I think people are, it's going to dawn on people, this is really, it's even business friendly. It's better for everyone except the vested interests that want to keep the system, the inefficient system, the way it is. So what will happen is it will run into some roadblocks, I'm sure, in the assembly. And there are some other good plans out there, too. Let me add that, that are coming up. There's the AFL-CIO plan, and there's the David Reamer. I shouldn't say the Reamer plan. It's the Wisconsin Health Plan. But that keeps insurance companies in. So I think of the three major plans that are out there, I, of course, like mine the best. The others are better, say, than what we have. Mm-hmm. And they're certainly a lot better than what the I believe the opposition party is trying to promulgate.
Well, we'll be happy to follow the progress of all of the plans. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Chuck Benedict, Democratic State Representative from Beloit, member of the Assembly Committee on Health and Healthcare Reform, co-author with Mark Miller of the Wisconsin Health Security Act. And we thank him for joining us on this edition of the State Capitol Report. We also thank Scott Suter, who was with us earlier, and Sean Johnson and Chuck Kornbach, Wisconsin Public Radio reporters. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.